This time on the K-League United podcast. All we want for Christmas is the K-League 2. As we get into the festive spirit and take a look back over last season, we decide which sides have been naughty or nice, as well as offer some advice for each club's letter to Santa this transfer window. Our three not-so-wise men are also joined by a number of K-League United writers and special guests along the way, helping shine some light on each team's individual season. Finally, we look at what's under the tree as we unwrap your questions from the mailbag. All this and more on this seasonal edition of the K-League United podcast.
Hello, annyeonghaseyo. Ryan Walters here in a very festive K-League United bunker along with Paul Meat.
Hello.
And Matthew Binns.
Hello.
And a very tenacious Ijung Horangi. The K-League cat is on the prowl and is maybe hunting human beings right now, but it's fine. We'll be fine. But, gentlemen, aside from the ugly sweater party that we are having along with the K-League cat, we are here...
Just perfect for an audio medium, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Perfect. Really, those of you listening, just picture...
The worst sweaters you've ever seen.
Picture a picture a Manchester City and Jumbook sweater that's like a half-half scarf.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. And it's just it's all over Matthew Binns right now.
Incredibly...
The colors play well together, but it's just so... Pretentious.
Smoke.
Yeah. Anyway, we're not here to talk about those two teams. We are here to talk about the K-League 2 and to take a look back on 2018 before we officially turn the calendar and move ahead. So what we're going to be doing today, we're going to hear from a lot of our writers, actually. We're going to get as many voices in as we can for this one, so you won't be hearing these dulcet tones that you're used to.
Thankfully.
Yeah, we're giving you a little bit of a break. That's our Christmas present to everybody else. But we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about all 10 of the K2 teams, what went well for them, what didn't go well. We're going to name a team MVP, a young player of the year, and the biggest question facing each of these sides as we head into the off season. We're then going to, we're going to play Mall Santa here. We're going to put them on the naughty or nice list, and we're going to decide what should be on their wish list that they're going to send along to Santa. Which, in this group, I'm saying is...
His beard is longer.
Paul.
Yours is me?
Paul is Santa Claus.
All right.
So, without any further ado or any other mentions of cats or Santa Claus, the things that people are tuning into this podcast to hear about, really...
Is the cat and Santa Claus.
The cat and Santa Claus and Christmas puns.
Yes.
Yeah.
We've got loads of those.
That's what everybody's here for. We also have a mailbag coming up later, speaking of the reason that people might be tuning in. But without any further ado, we're going to get into this. We're going to start at the bottom of the K2 table with Seoul Eland, and we have Michael Redman.
Seoul Eland. What went well? They pulled off some big results in the league over the year. They managed to go undefeated against Ansan Greeners and could even boast wins against Songnam and Daejeon, who were obviously series contenders for promotion. They improved on the points tally of last year as well, which shows some sign of progress for the Leopards. What didn't go well? Well, where to start? There was no real structure with the team. It was clear to see that the team lacked confidence and panicked whenever they were on the ball. Also, regardless of having higher points tallied this time round, they finished rock bottom of the K-League 2, which is a sign that they haven't invested well in the off-season. They haven't improved compared to the rest of the division. The young player of the year will have to go to Cho Jae-won. The club's top goal scorer only turned 23 in August. He played without fear and had a key eye for goal. A young player who knows his potential, Seoul Eland would be lucky if they managed to keep the Korean in the squad next year, as a K-League 1 side may be more appropriate level for the youngster. The MVP will have to be Kim Young-kwan. He was nothing but a hero for the club. Week in, week out, he showed his talent and ability between the sticks. An ACL winner with Ulsan back in 2012, he was in the K-League 2 best 11 of 2018. A squad leader who kept Seoul fighting in games, regardless of the scoreline. The most important decision of the off-season? Can they get the talent in to progress? Manager In Chang-soo is out and new boss Park Geun-won is in. He will need to restore confidence in the side and show that they can play good football. Give the players confidence to just play football and sign players who can hold a good defence. The defence leaked a lot of unnecessary goals throughout the season, so a strong character on the back line would be an added bonus for the side.
So thank you, Michael. And now we should probably look at the transfer wish list, his Santa's wish list. What do you think Sol Eland need in the new season?
Is it possible to put a new team on the list?
Yeah.
What did I say?
The whole new team.
Ah. Well, I mean, it might be a very long list.
Doesn't Dejan have like three teams? You can just get one of those.
Near enough. Yeah.
Well, I mean, as he pointed out, he said that they've not really kept up with the rest of the league. I mean, they did get a higher points tally, but it's still a lower finish. So the other teams have just surpassed them.
That's it. They haven't progressed, but others slightly have.
Yeah. So where to start, really? I mean, it's hard to. They need to get some good foreign signings in. Mm-hmm. They've had some good foreign signings in, but they've put them off, and it's hard to find a foreign player that won't be put off by incompetence. Really,
they need to stop getting let down the garden path by agents, because they have clearly signed a lot of players having never seen them play before, mm-hmm. never scouted them. They're just going off, I don't know, some really good agent spiel, mm-hmm. because you know that's not even just this past season. I'm talking other seasons. They've signed some really poor players that they've clearly never heard of before, never seen them play.
Well, I think the desire for a lot of players that play here to live in Seoul should be enough for them to at least... The wish list that I would put together for them is to just at least get a spine. Mm. You've got your goalkeeper. You've already got Glory in net. You're fine there. Just get yourself two or three more K2 players that are playing in areas that maybe aren't as exciting for those players as Seoul. Foreign players, sure, but also Korean players. Just get a few players and get that spine and build from there. That would be my wish list for them.
Mm-hmm. I think I agree with that. So, are we going to put them on the naughty list or the nice list?
That's got to be naughty list. Got to be naughty.
Yeah, they're getting coal.
Yeah.
Coal for Seoul.
Coal for Seoul.
And that's three coals for Seoul there.
Hashtag coal for Seoul. All right, we are going to move up the table just one position into ninth place. And we are going to hear from Mike Brandon, our Ansan Greeners columnist and the head of the Ansan Foreign Supporters Group.
It was another ninth place finish for this new Ansan project, which saw some big highs and some very low lows. Ansan flew out of the blocks though this season with 5 wins and 5 draws from the opening 12 games, plus a 7-0 thrashing of Suwon University in the cup. However, things soon began to unravel with a lack of consistency in lineups, formations and even player roles. This led to a run of form where Ansan went from playoff contenders to bottom of the league with just 8 points gained from a possible 48 and a run of 9 straight defeats, including a 1-0 home defeat to Asan in the cup. Lee Hung-shil, despite winning this division with Ansan Mugunghwa in 2016, was fired, with Lee Yong-min coming in as the interim. What followed was a reverse in fortunes as Ansan picked up 11 points from the next 6 games under his tenure. He was replaced, however, by the new permanent manager, Lim Win-sop, who managed just 1 win and 2 draws in the last 6 games of the season, including a final day 4-0 thrashing in Gwangju. Some highlights of the season included a rocket of a free kick from Jang Hyuk-jin, our player of the season, coming from behind to win 3-2 against Daejeon with just 9 men, and of course that aforementioned club record 7-0 win in the FA Cup. Now, with 8 assists to add to his 13 assist haul in 2016 and 3 goals, Jang Hyuk-jin, as mentioned, was our player of the season. But honourable mentions must go to Che Ho-ju, a real threat in attack, defender Park Joon-hee, who popped up with a couple of goals, and also youngster Yi Gon, who gave some dazzling performances on the left this season. Ansan need to settle on a consistent style ahead of 2019, and hopefully they can maybe even push on to those playoffs. That was the 2018 Ansan season review.
All right, thanks Mike. And, well, transfer list time again. What are we putting on Santa's list? Well, for me, this one is pretty easy because the 32 goals in 36 games is nowhere near enough for mm-hmm. the Greeners. Only Eland were worse, which makes sense when we're looking at where we are in the table here. And the thing for me is that the Greeners needed 15 different players to score in a way that's really impressive because it shows that the goals are coming from a lot of different spots. But I think if they could identify and find one true target forward or just somebody to step ahead and be that main threat, then all of these players that have contributed from other areas of the pitch could be a little bit more effective.
Yeah, because they have Jang Hyuk-jin, who's second highest in the K-League 2 for key passes. Mm. And he's also up there in terms of assists as well. He's in the top 10 for that as well. Actually, he's third. So Yeah, you're quite right. If they have someone to put the ball away, mm-hmm. they've got the supply there. I assume that they can keep players like him.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting for them to try to lure somebody into this program that is just an out-and-out goal scorer. But surely they can find someone to come in and score somewhere near double-digit goals. Because in K2 this year, there were only 5 players that scored in double digits. Sure, that they can get somebody that scores 8 or 9, which could then be bearing most of the brunt of the attack for them. So, yeah, just go and find yourself a quality goal scorer. That's easy, right?
Easy enough.
Easy enough. So, are we putting them on the naughty or nice list, Matthew?
Naughty.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I agree. Naughty for me as
no
well.
No real improvement there. They've had 3 managers this year. I agree with Mike that they need to settle on a formation and a strategy.
Yeah.
So naughty for this year, but hopefully the new manager will have something planned for the future seasons.
Yeah, we'll make that one unanimous.
Yeah.
They also get Cole. All right, moving up the table just one spot to a team that it's very surprising to find them this low in the table given the preseason predictions that we all had.
Mm.
This is Bucheon 1995, who finished the season in 8th place. And some things that went well for them, well, they played really well when they weren't at home. They managed to pick up 24 of their 39 points on the road. And oddly enough, that same number, 24 of their 37 goals, also came away from home. Their capabilities while traveling is mainly what kept them in the playoff hunt for far longer than they really should have been, given how the season went overall. Which leads into some of the things that didn't go well for them. Mainly the fact that they finished where they did. They were favorites of ours heading into the season to at least challenge for the title, if not win it outright after a strong 2017, or at the very least make the playoffs. Anything other than contend for them was going to be considered a failure, but this far down I think is surprising. Fourth bottom in goals scored with just 37 a year after putting in 50 is a big drop that was somewhat expected losing Waganino in the winter transfer window, but you had to think that bringing in former Busan I-Park standout William Pop was going to offset some of that. Fortunately, he didn't do quite as much as it looked like he was going to, but we'll get on to him in a second. The other thing that I just have to touch on this before we move on from them, the other thing that didn't go well, they didn't get their stadium finished.
They didn't even start it.
We were really looking forward to that.
Actually going ahead.
They've been looking for the funding. They announced a few months ago that they'd secured the missing funding.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard nothing since that. So,
well, supposed to be some reused stands from the Pyeongchang Olympics and a bunch of other things. It was gonna be great.
I was excited for that.
Yeah, the renditions looked great. So that's another thing that didn't go well. Get that stadium done because that thing looked great. But anyway, moving on, other things for Bucheon 1995. Their MVP this year, he didn't score as many as they maybe wanted, but it has to be William Pop. He was one of only 5 players in the K2 to score double-digit goals this year. And led by that, Bucheon managed to score in 82% of their away matches. And again, that away form is a lot of what kept them into the playoff hunt much later than they really had any right to be. And a lot of that is based on him. Their Young Player of the Year, I'm going to have to give it to their goalkeeper, 24-year-old Che Chol-Wan. He started all but 3 games for Bucheon, and this is his first true professional season. They did only manage 8 clean sheets, but he was in net for 7 of them. And he had an additional 13 matches where he conceded just 1 goal. So, even though they don't have a ton of clean sheets, at the age of 24, to be keeping teams this close and keeping his side in games like he is, that's a really standout season for a keeper. And 24 is kind of pushing it for a young player. But anyway, the biggest question for them is, where is their home going to be this year and can they win there? This year they played in Bucheon Stadium with the running track and everything else, and they struggled pretty mightily, picking up just 15 of their 54 points on offer at home. So the fan base is a little bit lagging because they haven't had a great stadium experience. They haven't had a lot of good games. So the biggest question for them is, how are they going to win at home? Mm-hmm. For me.
Yeah.
Which leads into the transfer window. Is there anything that you gentlemen think that they need to do this winter, Matt?
I'm not too sure. Obviously they've got Pop, who's got double digits, but after Pop, I don't really know where.
Well, that's it. Assuming that he's going to be there for longer than just a season, you'd hope for their sake that he is.
Mm-hmm.
If not, then there's your priority. Go out and get someone that can score at least the same amount of goals as he has, or and ideally more, because like you said, they hadn't scored enough goals, certainly at home.
Right.
So yeah, they need, I think they need a bit more of experience as well, to be honest. They've obviously lacked in certain areas with a bit, you know, if you can't win at home, that suggests that they are a bit afraid of playing in front of their own supporters.
It's odd to see a team that can't win at home. You would expect the opposite, but they were just really, really poor at home this year. So hopefully they can find something in the winter window that'll help them turn that around and at least get that fan base a little bit more excited. One other quick thing that I would add in for Buchan is that they're going to need some defensive help this winter. We talked a lot about how the offensive output wasn't quite what we would expect, but they also shipped 50 goals this year, which was worsened only by Sol Eland, who allowed 52. And that's not that far away. So allowing 50 goals this year, it's not something they're going to want to do again next year. So they need help, unfortunately, all over the pitch, which for me puts them squarely on the naughty list. Paul?
Yeah, they started off so well and then fell away quite badly. That's definitely North list.
Yeah,
definitely.
Make it 3 years again. Put them on the naughty list.
Yeah.
No presents this year.
Moving up the table and into seventh place with 42 points after 36 rounds, we have Suwon FC. And Matthew, you have some notes on them.
Yeah, I do. Well, first, let's start with the obvious. What idiots predicted this lot to finish first?
No, it wasn't.
There was one person here who didn't.
Well, the manager should have... The manager himself should have caused sirens to go off looking back, but there was a thought that the current players liked him and the new signings could offset his inexperience. Kim Dae-hee had previously only managed at high school level prior to this season, and it showed. It wasn't so much the way he set up the team, but more in how he encouraged them to play. There was extra touches, holding up play and passing safely became the staple of this Suwon side. They rarely took chances, and they looked frightened to attack in the end. Worse still, when falling behind, he rarely had an answer on how to change things. They rarely made any points from a losing position. Also, what else didn't go well? Well, the squad selection had a knack of changing lineups often, but there was also a few injuries in fairness to him, Adrian Leia being the standout injury in that list. He came into the season with an injury, came back, got some form, and unsurprisingly, Suwon's form also picked up at the same time, but then was ruled out for the season after landing awkwardly at Sol Eland. Also, signings such as Matheus Alves, Alex Bruno and Alex Lima all failed to live up to their billing, in addition to 2016 K2 MVP Kim Dong-chan, who looked unfit and off the pace for most of the season. You'll be unsurprised to know those three foreign signings are not going to be coming back next season. What did go well, though, there's a lot that went wrong, but off the field, they did quite a lot of things right. It's a family-friendly club. They did a masterstroke with the season tickets, only 60,000 won, $60 if you're listening overseas. And there was plenty of sales in the shop, plenty of offers, plenty of things to draw the customers in. I can honestly say, as someone who, I bought a season ticket because I lived locally, I went to go and watch them, and I honestly enjoyed going to that stadium despite what I saw on the pitch. if they could get that together and matched on the pitch, then, you know, they're in good stead. MVP, Kim Dae-sol, we've talked about him before on the previous podcast, but second most clean sheets in a team with minus 17 goal difference is always to be applauded. Young player of the year, Cho Yu-min, he went to the Asian Games. He was a good 21-year-old centre-back at the beginning of the season. He went to the Asian Games. He came back, wasn't quite the same, but still did very well. And finally, the biggest question of the season, has the manager learned anything? It's been a long, hard season, but Suwon fans have stuck by him, and he now has to use this first professional season to build on.
Yeah, a lot ahead for them next year, and a team that, like you say, there was a lot of promise heading into this season, and boy, did they fall flat. Which leads into what they need to do this winter. Last year, I think we sat down last winter and we thought that they had won the transfer window. We thought that they just really looked great, that they
There's
had
some really
solid
nice signings in there.
So what do they do this year?
Well, the thing is, as well, the Matheus Alves left after halfway through the season and they brought in Viana. I don't know whether Viana's going to stay on as well for another season. Viana did actually win their golden boot, despite only being there. That's how low the bar was set before he came in. They need an attacker, or I'd probably say a creative attacking player. Somebody who's not afraid to take on players and try something different. They just wouldn't want to actually go direct at goal. They'd always find a different way around it. And they need somebody who's not afraid to take defences on.
They need a physiotherapist.
Yeah. That's a fair point.
They, I mean, Kim Lung-chan, obviously, I was, you know, held him as the possible K2 Golden Boot winner for this season. He looked really unfit, but he struggled with a lot of calf injuries, a lot of muscle injuries. And if you're not coming back 100%, you're not going to be able to play at your best for long before you break down again. And that's what happened with a number of players, Kim Lung-chan being one of them. They have to look at that over the off-season.
That's a fair point.
So, naughty or nice list? Paul, we'll stick with you.
Naughty for making me look foolish. Because I pinned them as being champions.
Well, that was a very foolish decision, Paul. I'd never do that. Naughty as well.
Yeah, but yeah.
It's kind of based on expectations.
I want to say nice because it's a nice day out, but...
And it is a nice club. It's a nice family-friendly club.
You know what? I'm going to say nice. Santa's getting them a present for being one of the better... The in-stadium experience for them is something that'll bring fans back. And for that, I think they get a present.
Fair enough.
It's not going to be a big one, mind you. It's going to be like a pair of socks.
Ryan's softening up at Christmas and you look at him, Mr. Grinch.
Well, we'll see. Anyway... Got to get some presents to some of these clubs. Mm. Moving up into the last team in the bottom half of the league here. A team that made a really good run at the end of the season to get 44 points in total. That was FC Anyang, and Paul has a little bit for him.
I do indeed, yeah. So what went well? Well, Anyang actually had something to play for heading into the last game of the season. If they'd actually bettered Guangzhou's result, they might have been the team that went to play FC Seoul in the playoff final. Alas, they did not, but they recovered well after a bad start. And credit to them for that, because they didn't pick up the first league win until May. But then a run of 12 games, again, without a win. And then towards the end of the season, they had a good shout at the top four, well, top five, as it were. One defeat in nine with six wins in that time. And they had a decent end to the season. What didn't go well, that bad start. They were always playing catch-up after that, and they were never going to be able to really mount a serious challenge at that top five, top four, as it ought to be, but yeah, top five. They also lost their manager, who decided to step down after just one season in charge, and I thought he did well enough to have some hope for them for next season. They did well, I thought. MVP, well, their lord and the saviour, the second coming of Alex, the Brazilian. There we go, first pun of the podcast. 15 goals in 22 starts, 28 overall. Enough goals to see him as the league's second highest goal scorer behind Na Sang Ho. He was superb, and if they can keep hold of him for the foreseeable future, then they should have a good foundation to start with next year. Young player, they've actually got a few candidates, but I think the most notable is Jung Hee Young. He's a winger. Made 32 starts this season, scored 6 goals with 3 assists, and is the joint second highest at the club in that regard. So, biggest question for the off-season is, will their new manager be the right man for the job? They've got a manager again who's got very limited experience as a manager. He's had times as a head coach and whatnot, and as a high school manager, but not actually K-League or National League experience. So that'll be my biggest question for them.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, wish list. Well, for me, it would be a new contract for Alex.
Yeah. Yeah, keep him around.
You have to.
Yeah.
Absolutely have to. And they also need, I think, an experienced central defender.
I mean, I honestly, a strong centre back can win you K2.
Oh, yes, I agree. I mean, like you said, Matthew, earlier about Adrian Leia, the difference that team had with and without him was night and day.
Yeah.
They have a good centre-half who's organised, who's a leader. It goes a long way in K2.
Yeah, Suwon was a completely different team without him. And I think if Anyang could get that and they could have the back end of the pitch figured out. I mean, the other thing, they could stand to have somebody else as a true goal-scoring threat up there with Alex. Mm. Again, as we've talked about with some of the other teams, it's hard to go out and just get that goal-scoring attacker. But it's something to consider for them.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll just kind of add to Paul's point there on the letter to Santa. They should really be asking for someone to assist Alex. Anyang had no players in the top 10 for assists this year. And yet they had the league's second highest goalscorer. So imagine the possibilities if they could improve the service to him.
Yeah, good point. Right, so...
I'm going nice.
I've got them nice as well. I thought we all expected a lot less of them.
No, I thought they were nice.
Yeah, but, you know, like
I said, mean, especially to end the season on the high that they did, and to get the fan base into it like they did, and to just show what that team's capable of going into the K2 next year.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really nice finish, and so yeah, they're gonna get two pairs of socks.
There's some tangerines.
That's right. Those will all be into the stocking. All right, so we are going to take a quick break, and then we are going to come back with the top half of the K2. Stay tuned.
Looking to spend some downtime with friends and fellow gamers in Seoul? Drop by Retro Game Bar. Located in Hongdae near Sangsu Station Exit 1, RGB is a retro game-inspired bar where you can play any and all types of games. Test their bartenders' drink mixing capabilities or watch a game cast of your choosing. For those with a competitive side, sign up for monthly tournaments including Tekken, Mario Kart and K-League United's FIFA 19 competitions. Follow RGB on Facebook for tournament info and details on other events throughout the month. Mention that you're a fan of K-League United to their hard-working bartenders when you stop by for a starter shot to kick off the evening. Game on!
All right, and welcome back to the very festive edition of the K-League United podcast. Ryan Walters here along with Paul Neat.
Hello.
And Matthew Binns.
Hello.
And the K-League cat has been sequestered, which is not welcome in here anymore. Definitely on the naughty list. So, if you're joining us halfway through, we are running through all of 10 of the K2 teams, and we're deciding what went well for them, what didn't go so well in 2018 before we flip the calendar and move on to next season. Up next, the team that is the first in the top half of the league and the last one to make the playoffs, Pete Hampshire is going to go through Gwangju FC.
Key themes from the yellow season as they look to return to the top flight at the first time of asking were inconsistency and the emergence of promising youth players. Na Sang-ho thrived at a lower level, finishing the season as the second division's top scorer and forcing his way into the Korean national team squad. Emerging as one of the league's brightest prospects, Na Sang-ho found Brazilian pair Robson Duarte and Felipe for company up front, following manager Park Jin-sup's mid-season recruitment drive, representing one of a crop of young talent that has perhaps benefited from Gwangju playing in the second tier. He's been given a chance to shine, with Na Sang-ho roaming freely across the front line and being given the responsibility of set pieces at just 22 years of age. Unfortunately, he was suspended for the playoff defeat in Daejeon, which ultimately ended the Yellows' campaign. He wasn't the only youngster to cement his spot, with fresh faces of Kim Min-hyuk and Kim Dong-hyung, regular features in midfield, and Lee Sung-mo also pushed his way into the defence, unfortunately suffering a freak neck injury in that 1-0 loss at Daejeon. That will take a couple of months of recovery. While the flourishing of these youth products is good to see, keeping Duarte and Felipe could be the most crucial aspect of this winter's transfer window. Since arriving, they have given a much-needed boost and different dimensions to Gwangju's attack, and in Felipe, they have found a focal point to play off. However, should they want to make a serious dent in their 24-point shortfall to champions Asan this season, they'll have to tighten up at the back for sure, keeping just one clean sheet since August against a weakened Ansan side. Perhaps a couple of older heads could be needed for Gwangju.
Okay, thank you, Pete. So I'm going to go straight into the transfer wish list from that. And I'm going to follow from Peter's lead. And that was, he was talking about some older heads at the back. Gwangju has a lot of good youth prospects. But they might just need that bit of experience to get that step higher. And I probably copy him on that. I think having just that bit of experience at the back, shore up a few things, and if they can keep hold of some of their youth players, Na Sang-ho will be very difficult to keep hold of.
Yes.
Yeah. But they can keep hold of that core youth, then who knows what could happen next season for Gwangju.
Yeah. I also agree with Pete that he said about keeping Duarte and Felipe. Obviously, those two were quite a handful for most teams in the division in that second half of the season. So yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a theme here. Old centre-half.
Yeah.
But yeah, like we said earlier, it goes a long way in K2.
Yeah, and they had the attacking talent this year with Na Sang-ho. If they can hang on to him, which, to be honest, I don't think I see that happening for them. But if he's not there, then they should have a pretty decent transfer fee coming their way that they can turn around and try to get somebody else to fill those shoes. But either way, a little bit of veteran leadership to offset anywhere in the pitch I think would be good, because we talked about this in the Daejeon playoff, that they didn't quite look ready for the moment yet. But mm-hmm. I think that they will in the future. But with that, are we putting them on the naughty or nice list?
Oh, nice. I think I expect a lot worse from them. I found Gwangju a lot more likable than last season. Yeah, nice for me.
I'm going naughty. They only got there because other teams didn't seem to want to.
It's a good point.
Suwon, Bucheon, they were the teams that we were expecting to see in, mm-hmm. in that top four. Mm-hmm. Gwangju got a reprieve by fifth being available. And they kind of limped in there, really. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go naughty. Sorry.
Ooh.
A team that's just come down, though. You I think you would expect better from them.
I don't know. Most teams don't come straight back up, though.
I know, but...
Until Jeonnam 2019.
No. You can be there for a long time. If Daejeon, they need to go by, you're there for the foreseeable.
Well, I'm just going to say that... for me, Gwangju, I'm going to... you bring up a really good point, how they ended the season. No, naughty. Yeah, I'm with you. Because they were there for a long time. They looked like they were going to stay in the top four when it was going to be the top four getting into the playoffs. And they just never really did enough to just kind of
they weren't punch consistent
you and
enough.
Give you that little bit extra.
This. All right.
So, it's like you have a kid and they can show that they can be a well-behaved child. Mm. They do great stuff at school. The homework's good. And then sometimes they get sent home early. Mm. You know, they mess around and they get sent after school for detention. That was Gwangju.
I don't want to have Christmas in your house, right? Come on then.
Moving into the playoff positions. Well, Gwangju was in the playoffs, but into the original playoff positions, which was originally the top four, which is where Daejeon Citizen finished, in spite of some people at this table predicting much, much worse.
Yeah, some of you spiteful people thought they're going to finish much, much lower. Actually, to be fair, so did I. So that's kind of what went well for them this season, mm-hmm. is that they made significant progress from last year, which, based on how bad last year was, that was important. Just to make any progress. To finish 6th, 7th would have been seen as progress. But to make it into the top four, that was very, very good. They recruited well. Now, they recruited a lot, I know that. But bear in mind that they didn't have a reserve team last year, and this year they did. That kind of explains it in some senses. They brought in a lot of good young players like Park In-hyuk, Park Soo-il, and Kim Young-sok. Young, hungry players who have kind of got a point to prove in their first proper seasons in K2. They did well overseas as well. Tursunov, Aurelien Kichu, Shoru Gadayev as well. 3 good foreign players there. Mm. What didn't go well? They brought in too many players that didn't contribute enough. There were experienced players in there like Oh Jang-un, An Jae-jun, and they were players that we think that could be the spine of the team, and they just weren't. And also, that kind of lack of experience was very evident in the final, the playoff promotion final against Busan. They just looked like it was men against boys, which is odd because the Busan team is young itself.
Yeah.
So MVP without question, Aurelien Kichu, 13 goals that were the difference in Daejeon picking up wins when they were drawing and draws when they were losing, that made up for 13 points. So that was 13 points. They would have been nowhere near the top four. Young player of the year, they've got a few candidates, but the standout for me is midfielder turned fullback Park Soo-il, finished as second highest assist maker with 9. And coming from the National League in his first year in Kelly level, that's fantastic. Biggest question for the off-season is, can they trim their squad? Can they offload some of their little donkeys? Because mm-hmm. there's no more room at the inn at Daejeon. And can they keep all of their... Star of the East, Hwang In-bom. And that's me done.
Crowbarring them in there. What's on the list to Santa then?
Angels from the Realms of Glory. They need some experience in there to go along with the young young kids there that they've got.
I don't see Hwang In-bum sticking around. I don't think that he's going to be in the second division next year. I think he was only there this year because he had military service, which then he obviously got exempted from with gold at the Asian Games. There's a rumor going around on MLSsoccer.com, the official MLS website, about him potentially coming over to Vancouver. But when he was asked about it, he just said, "Mwah," which basically he didn't know much about it. So we'll see. But there's interest in Germany. And if there's interest from a team in MLS, then I think that that would be a good step for him. Obviously, Germany has been a really good step for a lot of Korean players. So I don't think he'll be there, so no. They're going to have to rebuild and fill that hole. But at the same time, as we've talked about on the podcast before, Dejan was doing all right before he came back. He elevates them, but they were doing all right before him. So, yeah, so another team that just needs a little bit of experience, I think. Yeah.
I mean, do they need more toys? They don't play with the ones they've already got. but, yeah, I think as long as they can replace him, if they can't, if he leaves, then they can find a good replacement for him, or just...
or spend the money wisely, because apparently his release clause is around $1.5 million. Mm-hmm. If they can invest that in a couple of players, mm-hmm. a couple of good players, then they might have a good season next year as well.
So, naughty or nice?
Definitely nice. No one really thought they were going to finish fourth, myself included. Definitely nice.
Decidedly nice. They also, the second half of the season, they were also fun to watch. And when they turned it on, and when they were making that run in August, they were just you never counted them out until that final whistle blew, and that is fun. And I thought that they turned into a fun team to watch, and so for me, they're getting all of the socks.
Yeah!
I'll put them on the no. Go on. Of course, they've got to be on the nice. There's nothing really bad you can say about their John seasons here. They've overachieved by a lot.
Yeah. So, moving along from them up to the team that wound up winning the playoffs, Busan I Park. They finished in third, but it ended up being a second place finish due to Asan Mugunghwa not being able to get promoted. They finished with 56 points, and they challenged FC Seoul for promotion and unfortunately didn't get it. But taking a look back on the year that was, we have Busan I Park English ambassador and season ticket holder Phil Mason.
For Busan I Park in 2019, the best aspect was off the pitch. The club put a lot of effort into re-engaging with their fan base and increasing attendances. This was an overwhelming success. Amongst other ideas, there was a three-month-long half-time dance competition for high schools, a number of player meet-and-greets, including hundreds queuing outside of Story Way to be served by Kim Moon-hwan, and hiring foreigners to promote the club to expats. All of this resulted in Busan breaking the K-League 2 attendance record multiple times and recording their highest club attendance in over a decade. Busan went from an attendance of about 1,500 in the early weeks, steadily increasing to over 10,000 for the playoff final first leg. Unfortunately, what didn't go too well was on the pitch. Despite being the second top scorers in the K-League 2, most of these came from midfielders Romulo, Ko Kyung-min and Kim Jin-kyu. The top scoring striker was Choi Sung-in with only 5. Busan struggled to kill off games, especially at the start of the season, and the lack of goals was the key reason for this. Busan's player of the year was Romulo. The Brazilian midfielder played more minutes than anyone else for Busan and was the K-League 2 top assist maker. This season he also added goals to his game, going from only one last season to being Busan's top scorer with 10, despite playing in a deep central midfield position. Although the recently capped Kim Moon-hwan would be an obvious choice for Young Player of the Year, that would actually be Kim Jin-kyu. The winger is actually 2 years younger than Kim Moon-hwan at only 21, but plays 10 more games for Busan. He also chipped in with 8 goals from either wing, although he also played central midfield and up front when formations changed throughout the season. The most important decision for Busan going forward would be who to replace manager Choi Young-kyum, who resigned after the playoff loss to Seoul. After 2 successive losses in the promotion relegation final, Busan I Park would be targeting winning the K-League 2 in 2019.
Thanks, Phil. What a lovely accent he has there. Sunderland, Phil. All right, yes, so transfer wish list for Busan I Park. What do you think, Matthew?
Well, an attacker. Phil's touched on it as well, but it was quite obvious in the playoff game that they haven't got that attack. They've got a lot of wingers.
They have.
They've got a lot of creative midfielders as well. They've got Romulo in the centre. Mm-hmm. They've got the midfield sorted. Defenders, it was an issue, but I think that was mainly due to injury. But attackers, they brought in foreign signings and they've not delivered. They need to get somebody who can put the goals in the back of the net.
Yeah, whatever it takes to just win the league outright. Mm-hmm. Because I do not want to see this team fail in another promotion relegation playoff. Busan, I think most people want to see them in the first division. Last year was heartbreaking. This year, I'm not going to pretend like I wasn't sitting on the FC Seoul side of things. But
I can tell you it was heartbreaking from the Busan end.
And, you know, and the way it went down this year, I don't care who you're rooting for. The way it went down this year was heartbreaking that a red card decided this two-legged affair.
Yeah.
And that sucks. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes that. And this is a team that has been through a lot in the past couple of years. And for me, whatever it takes for them to just get over that hump and win this second division, unless Jeonnam can do it, but just to get that automatic promotion, because I think they deserve it for how they've been organized and how they've played for so many years. Mm-hmm. So it seems like that does need to be somebody, a poacher. Doesn't even need to be somebody with a ton of goals from the past year, but somebody that's just always around goal, because you know they've got the talent to get those rebounds and to have the ball where it needs to be.
Yeah.
So, naughty or nice?
Oh, nice.
You think?
Yeah, no, obviously the red card was that defender's fault, but they'd done everything right. They got to the playoff final, which is, I think, where we kind of expected they should have been. We all expected they were going to beat their K2 opposition in the playoffs. I don't know whether FC Seoul was always going to be a tricky proposition.
Yeah, I agree. Nice. I mean, you know, listen to what Phil said there. You know, they say had a relatively bad season because of the expectations, which is, I suppose, I understand what he means. But on the whole, with the marketing they've done off the field as well, K2 attendance records being broken several times, like Phil said. Yeah, it's nice. It's nice for me as well.
Yeah, like I said, I think you're hard-pressed outside of Gyeongnam to find people that don't just want to root for Busan. And that's a win for this league, and that's a win for that team. So they've got to be on the nice list. They get a pair of boxer shorts along with their underwear and their socks. Yeah, stockings were very boring in my household. Candy, too. They get candy. Sure. Anyway, moving up the list to a team that went and got themselves a present this year. They finished second, and they got promoted because of what happened with Asamba Gunghwa and not being able to be promoted. Seongnam FC, finishing second, found themselves back in K1 after a much longer stint than any of us really expected. And by that, I mean they didn't immediately come back up. So what went well from them? Well, aside from just a few minor slides this season, pretty much everything. The Magpies started the season with an 11-game unbeaten streak that saw them pick up 25 of the 65 points they needed to earn promotion. During their first brief skid of the season, they lost back-to-back games for the only time in 2018 and immediately corrected by winning it three out of their next four. Longtime Magpie Yoon Young-soon made a surprise appearance at the World Cup this year and was absolutely solid in defense all season. And it's not that often that defenders get praised, so we'll throw in another one here and shine a light on Lee Hak-min. He was in the top five in the vast majority of defensive statistics this year, including successful tackles with 70, and he was fifth in the league with 50 interceptions. So that defense was one of the things that went really, really well for them this year. And one of the things that didn't go well for them, in spite of all of the wins and the draws that got them the points that they needed, was scoring with any kind of consistency. They did manage promotion, but Seongnam only had four wins with a two or more goal margin. 10 of their 11 draws also saw them fail to score more than once. That may have been enough to finish behind Asan and K2, but a good number of those 14 wins and probably quite a few of the draws that they picked up by a single goal are going to disappear now that they're moving up a division. They'll need to find someone a bit more ruthless in the box and or someone to pull the strings in the midfield to set up a few more opportunities. The MVP for me comes at the back of the pitch because in spite of losing 23-year-old standout Kim Dong-jun in April, Seongnam were able to keep the league's third best defensive record with just 36 goals against and a plus 13 goal difference. And a lot of that comes down to 32-year-old Kim Kun-bae, who resurrected his career and logged 1,800 plus minutes for the first time since 2015 in his military stint with Sangju Sangmu. He only had 5 clean sheets this season, so he wasn't knocking down the door for the Golden Glove or anything like that, but providing a solid backstop when your stalwart keeper goes out like that just really can't be overlooked, and for me, the defense was what won them the title, and he was the man that was organizing a lot of that. The Young Player of the Year, well, for me, that's 22-year-old Chae Byung-chun. And he made 19 appearances and logged over 1,300 minutes for the Magpies. Also chipped in 5 goals for a team that didn't have a ton of goal scorers, because that was good enough to get him the 3rd highest in the club. Stepping up to K1 for a sophomore season is going to be a pretty big challenge for him. But given the performance that he had this year, I think he'll get a good few chances from Nam Ki-il. So, biggest question going into the offseason. Will Kim Dong-jun be the same after a season-ending injury? He's been rumored with K1 teams, possibly going overseas, everything else. This is a very, very, very promising goalkeeper, but that is a tough injury to come back from. So even though Kim Kun-bae was good this year, you've got to imagine they want to give those reins back to Kim Dong-jun. So is he going to be the same next year? And the other thing is, at the other end of the pitch, who's going to score for them? So Jung Sung-min and Eder both had decent seasons, and they combined for 17 goals, but they're going to need somebody to do a little bit more in K1 next year. Which leads into the transfer wish list, and I can start this one off with a tasty little rumor that I've heard that my beloved Jeonnam Dragons might be parting ways with Vedran Jugovic, and he might be moving north to play with Sungnam, which I think would be a fantastic fit up there. I think he could pull a lot of strings, shield the defense, and really move that ball through the midfield. So personally, I'm hoping that happens so he can stay in the first division. But other than that, Paul, you watched a lot of K2 this year. Is there anybody else on the transfer list?
Well, not from K2, but from J1. Huang Yizhou, obviously, was on loan with Gamba Osaka. So now that they are back in the K1, and he's had such a good year with the Korean national team, getting back. I mean, I assume that he's still under contract because it was a 2-year loan deal from my understanding.
Well, the problem with it is that he was on loan because he wasn't expected to get military exemption. So he was going to have to come back because you can only go to Sangju Sangmu and Asan Mugunghwa from a K2 club. Obviously, that loan deal is still in place, as you're saying.
Yeah. But, the thing that I heard, again, how elaborate it is, we don't know, is that it was to sort of offset their finances by being in the K2. Mm-hmm. I mean, it might be a mixture of both. It probably was.
Yeah.
But yeah, now they're back on K1, I'd be asking him to...
Well, and what a way to come back to K1.
Right,
if you've got a national team striker coming in,
yeah,
especially after the year that he's had,
right.
Ooh, that's butts and seats right there.
Yeah.
He will get some people to that stadium.
And he's been back to Tangshan a few times this past season, whilst he's had some time off. And clearly he still has a connection with the club, with the supporters. Mm-hmm. So for me, he'd be my number one priority to make sure that he's still... Where's Sungnam next season?
I think he'll get some, there'll be some resistance over in Japan to try to keep him over there as well, though. So that'll be interesting.
I was probably going to follow up. I wasn't going to say Huang Yizhou, but I was going to say a good attacker for the K1. It works wonders. I suppose you could also look to the defence as Yun Young Sun, who he's rumoured he's going to Ulsan. They do have a hole now at centre back.
Yeah.
Just make sure he's replaced, I guess.
Yeah. And now, you know, they are a team that's in and around the Seoul area. They are in the K1. I don't think they should have many problems with trying to attract players to go there. They should be fine with that.
It's just finances for
true.
The case.
Yeah. Again, another team that just needs a bargain veteran center back. And so if you're listening to this and you're a veteran bargain center back, just.
Or if you're a 20 goal season striker, then give them a call.
All right, moving up the table to the top of the table. Oh, not yet, because we haven't decided if they're naughty or nice.
Yep.
I'm just that excited to hand out awards.
We all are.
Naughty or nice? Well, for me, promotion, so nice.
Yeah, yes. Nice for me as well.
Me too, but I hope I crook, they got themselves back up again, so nice.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily the way that I think any of us saw it going down when they were relegated, but I don't think they care, and I don't think their fans care how it happened. They're back in K1.
Right, and if the same thing happened with Daegu 2 years ago, right now, do they care that they finished second in K2?
Yeah, no.
Absolutely not.
No. So the reason that that happened this year is where we're going to move up to for the last of the K2 here, and the team that won the Shield lifted that trophy and unfortunately did not get the automatic promotion prize that comes with it. Was Asan Mugunghwa, and before we get into their columnist Bronco Belen's recap of 2018, we should note again for people that are listening that aren't overly familiar with the situation, it's still up in the air with Asan Mugunghwa.
Yeah, the decision is actually going to be made on December the 20th, so this may, by the time you listen to this in a few days' time, it may well be out of date, but December 20th, the decision will be made. But at the time of recording, this is all accurate as far as we know.
Yeah. So the current assumption we're running with is that they are going to be around, and then they're going to transition to a citizen club in 2020.
Yes. So I think Branko will explain further for us.
Yeah. So without any further ado, here he is.
This team played well throughout the season and had even contributions from several players, thanks to an attacking but balanced strategy implemented by Park Dong-hyuk. They went unbeaten from late May to the end of August and ended up winning the league by a 7-point margin. The club's future, however, is still up in the air despite recent reports that the team would compete as Asan Mugunghwa in K-League 2 next season and then revert into a citizens club in 2020, but those reports are untrue. Things are very much hanging in the balance and time is running out. An earlier decision by the police agency to disband all sports teams has had a huge impact on the club, with several players still uncertain about their future. In terms of Young Player of the Year, it is An Hyun Bom, who was vital to the team's success this season. The 23-year-old scored 5 goals overall and added 2 assists and was a key cog in the Asan attack. It is, however, the end of his loan spell, and he is set to return to Jeju United for next season. Team MVP, Lee Myung-ju, who was Asan's most productive offensive player this year, but it was his leadership on the pitch for the younger players which contributed most to the success of the club. He found himself on the score sheet against Seoul Eland at the end of September in their title-clinching victory and set up Im Chang-yoon's equalizer in their final home match against Anyang, which spurred a late comeback. He finished the year named in the league's best 11 of the season. Again, the most important decision in the offseason, with things still looking uncertain, Park Dong-hyuk might not have a team to coach next season. It would be a shame, because Asan played some of the most attractive football of any team in Korea this season. There's also the issue of the players and what's going to happen to them. Right now, you know, the turmoil continues, but there is hope that a solution will be found soon.
Okay, thank you, Branko, for doing that. So as you can hear, war is over for the police. Well, for the Korean police anyway. other than confirmation of their future for the transfer wish list, I guess if they survive, players, and lots of them,
yeah,
they're going to be coming into the season with, if confirmation happens that they can play and they can have a transitional season into a citizen club, they're going to come into the season with 14 players that are going to leave in August. They need a whole squad.
They're basically going to have to start from scratch.
What they might be best off doing is something similar to what Ansan Greeners did, and that was raid a National League club. Ansan Greeners was mainly made up of players from Ulsan, Hyundai, Mipo.
Ulsan, Hyundai, Mipo, Dockyard Dolphins.
I'm so glad somebody helped me out with that.
Best name ever.
Yeah, I think that might be the best way forward for them if they do transition into a citizen club. But yeah, also, I guess as well, if they can keep hold of the manager, Park Dong-hyuk, his time is up. But I think first and foremost, get the players in, get a club in, you know, keep your club.
Paul. Yeah, fingers crossed for them, because it'd be such a shame that not only can they not go up, that they're not even going to be around next year, possibly. So, yeah, make sure you got the manager. But yeah, you're right, you need a whole squad of players.
Yeah,
that's as simple as that, really.
And it'll be really interesting to see how that transition will be made.
Yeah.
Because right now, you have to favor the police team to win the second division most times that they're down there, which they've done twice in the past 3 seasons and unfortunately haven't been able to get promotion any of those times. So, yeah. But that's where their season's ending, with a little bit of uncertainty again as we are recording this. But we're going to come back and talk about their season and a few other random things that might also involve the WWE. But we'll be right back to talk about that.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email KLU at info@kleagueunited.com or tweet at @KLeagueUnited with any questions, comments, or reactions. Or follow us on Facebook to ask directly during one of our live shows.
All right, and welcome back. And we're so excited to hand out our very real Christmas presents that we forgot to mention if we feel that Asan Lugunghua should be on the naughty or nice list.
Ah, nice. They finished top with a team that they can't choose. It's obviously nice.
Yeah, 100% nice. They were superb all season.
Naughty.
Yeah. As in it was a bit naughty to watch.
that midfield, that was a bit naughty.
Yeah.
No, they were on the nice list. They had to be.
Yeah.
But we didn't want to go forward and not mention the fact that they are definitely getting some presents this year when they wake up on Christmas Day. Speaking of presents, we had a few things come in online, and Matthew is going to run us through that one.
Okay, so we'll start with one from Unchan in Sunchan. Okay. How will Jeonnam fare against this opposition? So obviously a Jeonnam Dragons fan wanting to know. We have a Jeonnam Dragons fan with us tonight.
You don't mention it very often, do you?
No.
I never would mention the fact that the Jeonnam Dragons are the best team in the world that just got relegated.
Best team in Gwangyang.
They are the best team in Gwangyang and Suncheon.
Oh, that is true.
Actually, and maybe Yeosu. Anyway, how are they going to do next year? Well, we'll get into this a little bit in the K1 edition, so I don't want to overlap with that too much, but I will say I think they're going to struggle.
Mm-hmm.
There's quality here. Anytime we talk about the K2, we always talk about how you could take three or four of the top teams in K2, lump them into K1 right now, and they'd be fine. And I think that that's the case going into next year. If Asan's able to stick around, they're going to be title contenders again. Busan's already a title contender. Daejeon looks strong this year. If Gwangju can find a goal scorer, they're going to be a threat again. Bucheon might come back. And there's a lot of talent there. And Jeonnam's roster is also probably going to be turned over entirely to get some funding. A lot of players that won't want to play in the second division. A lot of players that are going to retire because they're going down to the second division. So I think Jeonnam's going to struggle quite a bit next year.
Yeah, I don't want to add too much onto it because we're going to do it. There'll also be a K1 season review podcast coming out shortly after this. But yeah, I think you just need to look to teams that have gone down recently, like Gwangju, Songnam, Daejeon, to a degree, that they go down, they don't come back straight away. There has to be time to rebuild, and I think it's going to be a difficult year for Jeonnam next year.
Yeah, just the last thing I'll say on that, and this is a taster for the K1, is that I think they need to do that through youth, because they are really good at developing youth.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's what their focus should be, and maybe a return in 2 or maybe even 3 years.
Especially if POSCO decide to reduce funding.
We don't talk about that.
Don't give them ideas. One quick question.
It's Christmas, Matthew. We don't talk about that at Christmas.
One quick question here from David. No last name given. Is this league too difficult to get out of?
Yes.
I'm talking to
a Desmond fan. Yes, it is. It's been 3 long years.
I mean,
yes, it's difficult.
Should there be more promotion spots in this league? Should there be relegation? You can get out both ways.
Well, yes.
Yes.
There should be relegation, definitely, because, you know, as we talked about...
Well, Eland would be getting out of the league one way or another.
Yeah. Last year would have been Daejeon. But yeah, they need to open the pyramid up as soon as possible, and they need more teams. They can't have more teams go up with a 10-team league, possibly 9-team league, if that is the case next year. So it's hard to get that up because it's only 10 teams.
Well, I think I agree entirely. And I think the promotion relegation playoff is fun because it's the first division side against the second division side. But I think that should go. And I think that we should have the playoff winner take the second promotion spot.
I agree
with
that.
The winner automatically goes up, 12th and first still switch. And then 11th is also just automatically going down, and the winner of the K2 playoff just comes up.
There we go there. Ryan Walters asking to relegate Seoul. final question, and quite an amusing question, but I do need both of your help with this one because I do not know too much about it. One from Luke Evans on Facebook. Hello, Luke. If K-League was WWE, if K-League United... WWE, rather. And you had a Royal Rumble in January. Mm. Why January? Why are we waiting?
I suppose the Rumble is.
Is that what it is? All right, this is the
Royal Rumble is.
Jeez. Well, obviously, I'm not going to be winning this. But featuring all... I'll be turning up
He's
the wrong...
He's just going to keep going under the rope.
featuring all writers, who would win?
If you could change that to writers to anybody that's affiliated with K United, I'd say the K League Cat.
The K-League cat has shown himself very agile, very vicious.
Yeah, Lee Jung Ho-rang-i is taking
it. Royal Rumble's a long way, it just never ends, is it?
You have to throw everybody over top rope. So if
you throw someone out and then somebody comes in.
Okay, so every, is it, I think it's 2 minutes, another entrant comes in.
Yeah.
You start with two.
Yeah.
And then you end up with 30 if they don't get eliminated, thrown over the top rope.
All
right. So you have to be quite strong, which he's not that strong yet, Kaylee Cat, but he's very agile. Or if it was somebody else, then maybe John Christian, because he's quite tall and strong.
Well, he's written for us this year. He ran the elimination game. I imagine John would probably hold his own in a Royal Rumble.
See, here's the thing, though.
Top rope.
John's got the size, but he is too kind-hearted, and this is a compliment. He's too kind-hearted to just toss somebody over that top rope time and again.
No, but you know how competitive he is. When there's a prize at stake, if you tell him it's for John Book, he will throw us all over top rope.
While singing.
Yeah. Holding us aloft above his head, singing John Book songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going Michael Redmond.
Oh.
Big Michael.
He's going to be one of the ones that he might make it look like he's out. He'll do the rope pull. Yeah. You'll think he's out and he's going to come back in.
The Shawn Michael Redmond.
Yeah, the Shawn Michael Redmond. That's what I'm going with.
It's like a whole new world to me, this. obviously, I'll be going out first because I will just be confused by the rules.
We're just going to ask over you to go over.
Just jump over the top rope, please, Matthew. Okay.
All right, well, that's it for our K2 mailbag. We do have some for the K1, but we'll be saving that for our season review of the K-League 1, which will be coming out very shortly after you listen to this one. But yeah, I think that's everything.
Yeah, shortly after I get you a Nintendo 64 and teach you how to play NWO versus WCW.
I don't like the Nintendo 64.
Oh, but that's not Royal Rumble, but anyway.
Joystick's a bit weird. Anyway.
Yeah, so if you're listening to the podcast, thanks so much. And you can also catch us on Football Nation Radio down in Australia at 5 p.m. every Thursday, Sydney time. That is 3 p.m. here in Korea. And you can find us wherever you download your podcast. That's iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Lisbon, all of those places. We are all over the place. And if there is one that we're not on that you would like us to be, please just send us a message and we will do our best to get on that as well. And also, please make sure that you subscribe and rate us. And as of right now, if you throw in a Christmas pun, we will...
read out on a future pun.
Certainly do that.
In the middle of January.
In the middle of January, when it still definitely makes sense. Yeah, send in some Christmas puns, some K-League puns, anything about the Royal Rumble. Let's stay on topic.
That is coming up, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
We'll have a full review of that as well.
Yeah, that's what's coming in January.
Full preview of all 30 entrants to the Royal Rumble.
We'll have that and a rundown at the K-League 1 next time. Thanks so much for listening.